This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
Tonight, I'm gonna actually go over a study that God has been dealing with me personally about. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to flip to two sections of Scripture. These are two sections of Scriptures that we are going to be discussing tonight. The first one's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And the second set of Scriptures is in Ephesians 6. Now, you're going to read some Scriptures on the screen, and they may read a little bit different than whatever version you're using, because on the screen it's going to be out of the New King James Version. And if you have the King James, it's going to vary a little bit. But I generally do most of my study out of the New King James, and that is simply because whenever I'm reading through it, King James just really, it tongue-ties me so much, and I like to read out loud, and then I get lost in what I'm reading. I'm like, I can't even understand what I'm reading. So that is why I've chosen to use New King James tonight. Many times when the topic is discussed that I'm going to discuss tonight, it's associated with the upper room experience in Acts chapter 2. It's told as a story rather than a personal experience that everyone has access to. So tonight I'm going to be talking about after the upper room. After the upper room. And next Wednesday night, I'm going to be dealing with before the upper room. Like, well, why'd you switch it? The reason why I switched it is because tonight the main topic is on speaking in tongues and the value that it brings to our lives. And then next week, I'm going to be talking about the biblical definition of Pentecost. That's going to be next week. So if you've ever had any friends who've asked you, what does it mean to be Pentecostal? What does Pentecost mean? I'm not going to be dealing with the cultural definition, but rather the biblical definition of before the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, dealing with the feast of Pentecost and all the implications that gives us what we reference in Acts chapter 2. So that'll be next week. It'll be a good week to bring your neighbor or a friend who might have some questions. But tonight, however, I wanted to discuss the topic that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Am I really loud to y'all? No? Okay, because I feel loud to myself. I don't necessarily want to talk about the gift of tongues as it is used in the church as much as a private use of a prayer language that you have access to in your private time at home or in your quiet time. So that's kind of the area that I want to deal with tonight. In 1904, there was a revival in the country of Welsh. It's called the Welsh Revival. Well, this revival ended up spilling over into the United States, mainly in Los Angeles. You've probably heard of Azusa Street or Bonnie Bray Street. These were two major streets or events that happened in the Pentecostal or the Spirit-filled movement in America. And a man by the name of William Seymour began to preach that what they were experiencing was the initial experience the believers in Acts had on the day of Pentecost. And out of that revival came a couple of well-known denominations that are still in existence today. The Assemblies of God came out of that revival. The United Pentecostal Church, which is an organization that we are a part of, came out of that revival, as well as the Church of God in Christ came out of this revival. So at least three that we know of started out of the same revival. And after doing some research, the Pentecostal or Charismatic Pentecostals are actually the second largest group of Christians in the world today, characterizing by being Spirit-filled, only second to the Catholic Church. But people who claim to be Pentecostal or call themselves Pentecostal is actually the fastest growing movement within all Christian organizations in the world today. More people are being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost today than any other time in the world's history. 500 million people in the world today claim to be Spirit-filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues. 500 million people in the world today. And just to think that from 1904 to today, the work that God has done in the world is absolutely astounding. It is absolutely amazing. Now, on the topic we're going to discuss tonight, I've always attempted to present this in such a way where it is something that people desire. Paul said to desire spiritual gifts, to desire spiritual things. And so I've always wanted to present it in such a way where it's something that you would desire rather than something that you felt was demanded of you. Because it's always better to desire spiritual things than to feel like it's something that's demanded in your life. I remember actually the first time I ever spoke in tongues, it was right here. And I was with a lot of my friends, and we were praying together. And there was actually one lady who prayed all of us. Actually, in my notes, I have one individual. I use the word individual. But we were all right here, and there was one individual who prayed all of us through. And looking back on it now, being on this side of it, I think that we all prayed through to the Holy Ghost in fear rather than out of desire. We were scared half to death. It was like somebody had their, okay, one person's got to keep their eye open and keep your eye open down the aisle, because if you see her coming, you better start speaking in tongues right now, because she gonna get you. And so that was my first experience with this topic of speaking in tongues. But that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight. There's three things. There's three reasons why I feel like speaking in tongues is such a vital part, or should be a vital part, to our everyday lives. The first thing is it's scriptural. It's scriptural. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting at verse 2, says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." I want you to focus on these three words tonight: in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Paul is saying whenever you are speaking in tongues, you are praying or speaking in the Spirit. Those are three important words that we're going to keep coming back to tonight. We're going to tie it all together. We're going to take a lot of scriptures, put it together, and hopefully by the end of this message, we can tie it up in a nice little package and it all makes sense. He was saying that whenever you're praying in the Spirit, you are not speaking to men, but you're speaking to God. 1 Corinthians 14, the purpose of this, to kind of give you a context of the entire chapter, is helping the Corinthian church understand the difference between public use and private use. Because what they were doing is the Corinthian church, whenever they would gather together, they had no understanding of this. So they would go up, they would shake someone's hand, and they'd say, "Hey, how you doing this week? How you doing?" And that person would respond by speaking in tongues. And Paul is saying, you can't do that because nobody understands you. It's unfruitful. It's pointless. And so that is what he's addressing in this entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 14. And that's why he said later, "I would rather you speak 5 words that you can understand than 10,000 words that you can't understand." So remember, he is differentiating between private and public use. And he who speaks in tongues or prays in the Spirit speaks to God. It's a prayer. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15 says, "For if I pray in a tongue, My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, or I will pray in the Spirit. Those are interchangeable. And I will also pray with my understanding. So I'm going to pray in the Spirit, and I'm going to pray with my understanding. I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to pray in English. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with my understanding. This is very important. You can pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding, my mind, is unfruitful. Whenever I pray in tongues or I pray in the Spirit, it is unfruitful for my physical mind. But if I pray with understanding, then it is fruitful for my mind. The conclusion was, I will do both. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. He's referring to tongues, and I'll pray with my understanding. Verse 16 says, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, bless is just another word for prayer. You ever heard the statement, let's bless the food? Let's bless our dinner? That's what I'm saying. If you bless or if you pray with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? Now remember that he's speaking these in context to people who don't understand the difference between public and private use. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, he who occupies will not be able to say amen. And then in verse 17, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Now I want you to think about who's saying this. Paul is the greatest apostle, in my opinion, who ever lived. He wrote one-third of the New Testament, and that is one-third more than you and I wrote. The greatest apostle who ever lived. And he said, I pray in tongues. Some may be like, well, no, in verse 14 he said, if I pray in tongues. If I pray in tongues, my spirit is fruitful. Well, in verse 18, he clarifies that, and he makes one of the most, what could be perceived as one of the most arrogant statements in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 14 and 18, he says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Can you imagine a preacher standing up here looking at you and saying, I am so thankful. I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. That is exactly what the Corinthian church is hearing from Paul. He not only did it, but he did it a lot. So he said, if I pray in tongues, I pray with my spirit. I also pray with my understanding. If I sing with the Spirit, I will also sing with my understanding. So that's the first thing. It's scriptural. Praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues is a very scriptural concept. So that's the first thing. The second thing is it's a benefit. It's a benefit. I want you to look back with me at verse 4. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. What is the purpose of this? He's explaining the difference between public and private use. We have this conjunction, though, the word but. This conjunction is in the New Testament 2,792 times, I counted, on my Bible program. But it's not always translated but. Sometimes it's translated and. Sometimes it's and then. And even newer translations today translate the word and on the other hand. So he who speaks in tongues edifies himself, and he who prophesies edifies the church. Or he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. On the other hand, he who prophesies edifies the church. You say, well, he edifies himself. He builds himself up. Yeah, that's a good thing. Whenever you pray with your understanding, you build yourself up. Whenever you read your Bible, you build yourself up. Whenever you pray in tongues, you build yourself up. There's absolutely nothing wrong with edifying yourself. There's nothing wrong with building up yourself. So, I want, you know what? Turn to that other those other scriptures I gave you, Ephesians chapter 6. Have you ever heard of the whole armor of God? Put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, let's start in verse 13. I have attempted to do something tonight that I've never done. If you were to come up here and look at my notes, you see that I put my scripture references, but I didn't type out my scriptures on my page. I'm forcing myself to flip in my Bible because I want to be like my pastor so bad. I'll read it from the Bible, that's right. In Ephesians 6, verse 13, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Are we not in an evil day? "And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And then notice in verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Now, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, whenever Paul said that whenever I pray in the Spirit, I pray in tongues. So, I'm an individual who is always asking questions because I feel like questions help me better myself and gives me more understanding on things. So, it's a lot of times it's hard for me to accept something that I'm curious about rather than ask questions and educate myself on it. And I had to ask myself the question, how many believers in Jesus today do not take the whole armor of God because of that right there? You know, you need to have your waist girded with truth. We need truth. We need to have righteousness, and we need our feet shod with the gospel of peace. We need the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. But we also need to be able to pray in the Spirit, because that is completing the whole armor of God. Absolutely. I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with my understanding. Jude 20. Let's go to Jude 20. Jude is actually only one chapter in the Bible. And so whenever you reference it, you can reference it with the verse rather than a chapter. So you can just say Jude 20. But it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Building yourselves up. It's not just in 1 Corinthians. It's also in Ephesians. It's also in Jude. It's scriptural, and it's a benefit, and it builds you up. I came across this story in studying of this Baptist pastor who spoke in tongues. He spoke in tongues daily. And somebody within his organization asked him, they said, "Why do you speak in tongues?" It baffled them. They couldn't understand it. And his answer was, "Well, it builds you up. And I need all the building up that I can get." Amen. And I'm sure that tonight I could. It would be safe within my boundaries to say that everybody here needs all the building up that you can get. I'm sure nobody here says, "You know, I'm built up as spiritually as I can possibly be. I'm good to go." Every day I need a boost. I need something to build me up. I need something to strengthen me and encourage me. And a lot of times my understanding can only go so far, so I have to take it a step further. One portion of Scripture even says that whenever I pray in the Spirit maketh intercession for me. Because there has to just come a point where I've got to do something beyond my understanding. Because my understanding is so limited, but I desire to be built up beyond the levels that I personally know about myself. I know that there's something more. I know that there's another level that I can pursue in God. But a lot of times I don't know how to get there. But if this is an avenue, then I desire it because I want to be built up in God. You know, I need all the building up I can get. And if the Bible says it builds me up, why wouldn't I do it? Well, let me tell you why most believers do not. It's because they don't understand my third point. And this is the point that actually I have had the most trouble with, because for some reason I always believed that in order to speak in tongues, you needed to be in a holy trance like a zombie and it was just going to pop out of your mouth. But the third point is praying in the Spirit is a choice.
Yes, it is.
It is a choice that you desire to make. It is a choice that I desire to make. In other words, you choose to pray in the Spirit just like you choose to pray with your understanding.
Amen.
Paul said, "For if I pray in tongues." He did not say, "If the Holy Ghost comes on me, puts me in a trance, and I uncontrollably speak in tongues to everyone around me." He didn't say that. It's like in Acts chapter 2, whenever they said, "And they began to speak in tongues." They chose to give in to it. It's just like everything else in the Spirit. It is not forced upon you. It is something that you yield to.
Amen.
You realize it by faith. It's not forced upon you. You yield to it. It sounds like gibberish. I know. It does. It's weird. It's crazy. But actually, what it really sounds like is a child speaking. You know, I have a buddy who just had a baby, and they live in Texas. And Ashley and I went and visited them and saw the baby and everything. Well, in the course of our visit, the baby kind of did a duty in his diaper, and it was feeling it. So he does. So the baby's laying out on the couch, just and that's exactly what it sounded like. And it's like, "Please stop the baby. I was not used to this. It's coming. 3 weeks. 3 weeks from today is the due date. You ain't gonna make it though." And the dad, his name's Justin. Justin looks at me and goes, "Donnie, once I get the diaper off, get him cleaned up, put the diaper back on him, and put him on my shoulder, he is going to stop crying." And I was like, "Yeah, I want to see this because that baby ain't stopping." But sure enough, the dad pulls off the diaper, cleans him up, puts the diaper back on, lifts him, holding him. He's still going. Puts him on his shoulder. Instantly stopped. And I was like, "Whoa, you got the gift of interpretation." You know, I didn't have the gift of interpretation, but his dad did. And sure enough, just like it happened, because, you know, speaking in tongues is a lot of the same way. You may not know what you're wanting, but you know your Heavenly Father does, and he knows exactly what you want. And sometimes it just takes a little bit of faith to yield, to say, "Hey, I don't really know what I want," and that's what speaking in tongues can do for you. It builds you up. You know, it's something that you just have to do by faith. You know, you pray in English by faith. You can walk into a room
and begin to pray. Someone walks by and says, "Hey, who's in there with him?" Nobody. So he just kind of goes into the room and talks to himself. Yep. Okay. But you do it in faith, believing that God hears what you're saying. Sometimes you may not feel like it's getting past the ceiling, but you do it anyways. Why do you do it? Well, number one, it's scriptural. Number two, it builds you up. And we do it by faith. So why not pray in the Spirit? It builds you up. It's a good faith builder. But you have to yield to it. You know, don't worry that one day you're going to be in Market Basket, then all of a sudden you are going to get in a trance and you're going to walk over to the intercom system, you're going to grab the microphone, and you're just going to start speaking in tongues. That's not going to happen. That's going to happen as much as you walking out tonight, finding an offering pan and a check pop out of your purse and land, a really big check pop out of your purse and land in the offering plate, and you'd be like, "Oh my goodness, I've got the gift to giving. I've always wanted that." Those two, you in Market Basket and just popping out is going to happen just as much as a check popping out of your wallet. It's a choice. You choose to yield to it, or you choose not to yield to it. It's totally up to you. Nobody forces you to do it. But I would encourage you, number one, it's scriptural. Number two, it's a benefit to your life. It builds you up. But ultimately, it's your choice. Absolutely. If you're going to pray in the Spirit, you have to open your mouth and by faith yield to God. Talk in a language you don't understand. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, just make syllables that you don't understand with your mouth and just go with it and just trust by faith that it's working. I have a very analytical mind, and I'm sure that there's a more spiritual explanation than that, but for me, that's how I have to do it, because a lot of times I just don't feel like it. I don't feel anything. But then again, when I pray in my understanding, as Paul said, I don't feel that either. But I do it because I just have the desire to yield to God. You know, a couple of years ago, someone made a statement to me that really puzzled me. I was still trying to get a handle on some things in the Spirit. And I was convinced, and now I just see how idiotic this was. But I was convinced. Somebody told me, "Say, you know, if you speak in tongues whenever you don't feel it, you could get a demon." And I was like, "Oh my God, I don't want a demon." And then I just thought, you know, that is the silliest thing I have ever heard in my life. Why, whenever I have a sincere heart doing something by faith that makes absolutely no sense to God, would he be like, "Here's a demon"? God's not like that. You know, and I believe that he even addressed that. He had the idea that someday this doctrine would come along, and he addressed it in Luke chapter 11, verse 11. He answered about that very, very doctrine that he knew that Satan would try to slip into our culture. And he said, "If a son ask bread from a father among you, will he give you a stone? Or if he ask a fish, would he give a serpent instead of a fish?" Now, if you go back a chapter in Luke 10, I'll let you read it whenever you go home. But in Luke 10, he compares, he tells you that a serpent represents demons in the spiritual world. He makes the comparison in the previous chapter, so he's alluding to it here. He said, "What he did... Or if he ask an egg," in verse 12, "will he offer him a scorpion?" And then here's the crux of what Jesus is saying. "If you then, being evil," if you being evil, you know, I believe what the Bible says whenever it says that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else, who can know it? And that's why every day that whenever... one of the first things I do whenever I go to God is, Lord, try my heart, know my spirit, test my motives, because if I have wrong motives, I need corrected now, because I will not go through this day with impure motives. And so I know that at the core of my heart, there's some evil and wickedness there, so I have no problem with Jesus telling this to me. He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, I know how to give good gifts to my kid, and he ain't even here yet. He's got a room full of them. Well, actually, most of y'all provided those. But how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, it's as if Jesus is saying one day Satan's going to make up this doctrine that if you pray in tongues, you're going to get a demon, and it's the most ridiculous thing. So he's like, I'm just going to go ahead and address it. So here's what you need to do. Here is your homework for this week. This is what I'm going to encourage you to do. Whenever you're in your alone time in your vehicle, and you put your worship music on, or you're in your prayer time, why not just open your mouth and just start praying in a language that you do not know, whether you feel it or not. You just trust God and yield to it. Well, I don't know how to do that. There's a mental block in my mind. Just do it. You don't have to feel it. Don't worry about feeling it. Because I promise you, the majority of the time, I have to force myself because it is unfruitful for my mind. And I like my mind to work and to know what's going on. But sometimes, I just have to yield to the fact that I don't know what's going on. And I have to be okay with that. And I have to allow God to work some things in my life. And I just have to be okay with the fact that I don't necessarily understand.
Absolutely.
Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if praying in the Spirit pleases God, and praying with my understanding pleases God, and if praying with my understanding and praying with in the Spirit is scriptural, and if it builds me up, that's something that I want to partake of every day. So what you need to do is you just need to get in a long time and force yourself to pray in the Spirit. Just trust God. Yield to it. Because the more that you do it, the more that you yield to it and just allow yourself to flow in it, the more it will build up your faith, and eventually it will become natural to you. Just like praying with your understanding becomes natural. This has the ability to become natural. It's uncomfortable at first. It is uncomfortable. I agree. It's uncomfortable, and I give you permission to be uncomfortable. Because a lot of the things in the Spirit are uncomfortable. And a lot of the things in the Bible are uncomfortable. So it's okay to be uncomfortable. But the more you do it, the more it will build you up.
Amen.
And one day, you'll be praying in the Spirit, and it will begin just to flow out of you. But the only way to get comfortable with praying in the Spirit is just to begin by faith.
Here's
what Paul said about it. I want you to go back with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's go back there. This is what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. Paul said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. That first line right there in that scripture, I wish all you all spoke in tongues. Now, I want to say something as a member of the pastoral team at this church. I wish you all did it.
Yes.
I wish you all spoke in tongues. Why would I not
desire for you to do something that is scriptural and that builds you up. There's nothing that we want for you in your life more than to be able for your faith to be built up, for your life to be encouraged, for your life to be strengthened, for your family to be better. And I really don't know of anything better than to be able to offer your family your praying and with your understanding and praying with the Spirit or in the Spirit.
I wish you all did. But it's not just going to pop out of you. You have to open your mouth, speak syllables you don't know, and trust that the Spirit is praying through you and simply allow God to build you up. Now, the reason why I titled this message tonight, After the Upper Room, is because I did not offer you one scripture tonight from the book of Acts. Many times whenever this topic is being dealt with, people generally go straight to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 22. This is something that continues on from Acts all the way to today. It's something that you can apply to your everyday life. It's something that's scriptural. It's something that builds you up. But ultimately, it is your choice. Why don't we all stand tonight and let's just yes sir, you can take over.
Now, I am a thoroughbred Pentecostal. You can't get more thoroughbred than I am. And I will guarantee you that in your early days of living for God, you did not hear this subject dealt with like this. You did not. You did not. Because we, most of us, grew up in a culture that in order to receive the real Holy Ghost. I mean, if you, which I never knew what the unreal Holy Ghost was. But you receive the real Holy Ghost, you had to fall out. And you like the guy at Peace Tabernacle in Baytown that Brother V.A. Gidrow's started. He came to the altar, and as was their custom, in about 5 minutes, they had him stretched out on the floor with a man on each arm and a man on each leg. And they were slapping him about the head. And after a little, he didn't know. He had never been in a Pentecostal church. And after a minute, he said, excuse me. If you men will let me up, I will be glad to join your church. What you have heard tonight is biblically founded. And I will guarantee that there's some of you that have never heard it explained the way he explained. And I saw something. I want you to research what I'm about to say, okay? You're better at that than I am. 1 Corinthians 14. Dina, work with me here if you don't mind. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Let's read that. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. What do you notice about the word Spirit? Small case. That refers to the human spirit. All right, go to verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. The word spirit there, it's lowercase, it's reference to human spirit. This is what Brother Donnie told you, he just didn't use this language. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, small case, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, lowercase, human spirit. I will sing with understanding also. Verse 16, else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, lowercase, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? Now, go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, uppercase, refers to the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, uppercase, itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, uppercase, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Just like we were taught tonight, speaking in tongues is an intermeshing of the human and Holy Spirit. Do not expect to have a psychotic break in order to speak in tongues. Your human spirit must be involved in order for the Holy Spirit to take over. You have probably heard some of the best Bible teaching tonight you've ever heard in your life. And I'm telling you, I was not taught this. No, sir. No, sir. You come to the church in Ball if you wanted the Holy Ghost. Did Malone and Kenny Price would get you in the middle and start shoving you back and forth, popping your neck. And we had a lot of folks get the Holy Ghost. Perhaps it was in self-defense, but they did. There was a lot of faith there. There was a lot of faith there. I got the Holy Ghost right by myself, kneeling at a slat pine pew in the tabernacle. And we've had a lot of precious people in the world, like Brother Donnie said, that had a gift for praying people through the Holy Ghost. I remember at least twice, Brother Creel, service was moving, people were worshiping. Brother Creel would look at me, and I went over, he said, help me up, Brother Mahoney. So I'd help him up out of his chair. And I remember one night he waddled. He wasn't doing well. And he waddled slow back down this aisle right over there about where Tammy is sitting. And there was somebody there. He said, lift your hands. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And he clapped that hand. And he didn't do that little, you know, afraid of lice hair hand. He laid hands on her. And in, I don't know, 5 seconds, she was speaking in tongues. And he came down. I got here and helped him. And he waddled back over here and fell down, wore out. He had the gift, that quick faith that people can have that helps people. I want to tell you, you need to listen closely to what we were told tonight. Speaking in tongues is the most awesome opportunity. Was that your first point or second point? Second point. It's a what? A benefit. You talk about benefit. Stand. Excuse the PS on the end of your note, Brother Donnie, but it's the truth. It is the truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege to speak in the Spirit, Lord. Oh, I spoke in the Spirit today. I didn't know what I was saying, Jesus, but you did. And I was built up by it. I was edified by it. I was strengthened by it. I don't ever want us to lose that. We're not going to draw back from that. We're not going to try to search for a carnal or human explanation for it, because it is a marinating of my human spirit and your Holy Spirit. And that is a combination that is a wonderful opportunity and benefit for us. And I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Amen. Go in the strength of this. You're blessed to hear preaching like this. That's right. If any of you were not here two or three Sundays ago to hear Brother Stephen's message entitled Banners, please order it and hear it. If you were not here, please fill out a card and order it. Do you remember the date, brother?
If you will go online to mbpchurch.com, mbpchurch.com, there's a button you can click called podcast, and whenever you click that, you will see Pastor Mahoney in a list of sermons. You'll see Robbie Stevens in a list of sermons. And underneath his name, it is one of the top sermons underneath his name. That is a very easy way to do that, mbpchurch.com.
And it doesn't cost anything.
And it doesn't cost you. If you buy a CD, we're going to charge you $5.
Yeah. February the 23rd. But it's got Brother Stephen's name. You need, if you weren't here, you just need to listen to that. God bless you in the name of the Lord. I feel better right now. And hey, you don't know. You don't know. Yes, some of you do. You figured it out. Sunday morning was the hardest preaching I've ever done in my life. When I walked up those steps, my heart began to hurt, and I had chest pains that got more severe with every word. It was a struggle. I know some of you said, Brother Donnie said, I knew something was wrong when you skipped your second point, and when you went back and you picked up the other point, and it was a mess. I don't know if you got anything out of it, but I want to tell you, yesterday and today have been the two best days, physically speaking, that I've had in weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and I thank you for praying. God bless you in Jesus' name.